Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Emojis up there. I don't know how you do fire. Put some heart emojis up there. And even right now, as I begin to share this word, I'd love for you to go and share this this post. I'd love for you to go to our Forward Church in Coomera page and share that. And that'd be absolutely powerful, absolutely amazing. So do that and that'll be wonderful. But today I want to share with you a passage of scripture out of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes everything. Someone shout everything. God causes everything to work together for good. Somebody shout good today. Come on, somebody needs to shout good today. If you believe that God is good, somebody shout good. Come on, let the neighbors know that God is good. Somebody shout good today. That God works everything together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance and He chose them. Isn't it wonderful to know that God knew you in advance? The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. In other words, He's saying that before your mama knew you, before your daddy knew you, before you were but a twinkle in their eye, God knew you. And God knew you and He chose them to become like His Son so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them standing with Himself. Wow. And having given them right standing... Is anybody grateful that God has given you right standing? No matter what wrongs you've done in your life, God gives you a right standing according to His grace. It says there, He gave them His glory. And verse 31, hear it. What shall we say then about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can stand against us? I want you to repeat that phrase with me right now. If God is for us, who can stand against us? I need you to turn to the person in the room next to you and say, if God is for you, who can stand against you? If there's nobody else in the room, point to yourself and say it one more time after me. If God is for you, who can stand against you? Amen. I don't know about anybody else, but does anybody feel faith begin to rise in your heart? The fact that no matter what is going on in your world, that God works all things together for good. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Today, there are five things that I want to give you. When it comes to this pandemic, absolutely has been the great leveler. Rich or poor, black or white, every person across the planet has been leveled to the same place. And I believe with all my heart that these are the greatest days of the church. I believe with all my heart that it's in darkness that the light shines the brightest. I believe with all my heart that right now there is a generation, right now there is a planet that is searching, that is looking for answers. And my friend, we have the answer. My friend, if Jesus is alive in your heart, then you have the answer. And if God is for you, who can stand against you? And right now I believe that as a church, and right now I believe that for you, wherever you're watching, that you're not just going to go through the season, but you're going to grow through the season. Somebody say grow. You're not just going to survive this pandemic. You're going to thrive through this pandemic. Hey, we're going to come out and we're going to be stronger. We're going to come out and we're going to be better. We're going to come out, we're going to have more faith. We're going to come out, we're going to have more purpose. We're going to come out and we're going to have more clarity because God has given us this window of opportunity to get prepared for what God's about to do. The title of my message today is Using Crisis to Your Advantage. Sadly, there are a lot of people that are suffering right now, and we're doing our best to love on people. We're doing our best to pray for people. We're doing our best to take care of physical needs of people. And even right now, if you need prayer, you can dial 1-800-2-FORWARD if you live in Australia. Or if you live outside of Australia, you can email us prayer@forwardchurch.com. And our pastors and leaders are waiting and available to pray for you. You're not alone right now where you are. We want you to know that as a church family, we've been praying for you. For Ratini and I, we're standing in faith with you. We believe that God, the greatest days of your life are out in front of you right now. And so crisis is the great leveler. And so some people walk through that and you know, they can almost get stuck in it. But others walk through crisis and they grow through it. I mean, right now, there are a whole lot of businesses that have closed down. And right now, there are a whole bunch of people that have lost jobs. But at the same time, there are a whole bunch of other businesses that have opened. There are a whole bunch of other people that have just switched jobs. There's a whole lot of change and shifting that is going on right now. What we do know to be true right now is that change is inevitable. But growth is optional. And I want to encourage you today that you can use this crisis no matter how it's affected you. No matter how it's affected your family, no matter how it's affected your loved ones, that you can use this crisis to your advantage. There are five thoughts I want to give you today when it comes to using crisis to your advantage. Number one, there are some things that you must cease, stop. Hey, the whole world came to a cease. The whole world came to a stop. And so the stopping came to us by force. But within that, there are things that we clearly have to we have to stop doing. That our goal is not to just go back to what we were doing. But clearly there are some things that we've got to put to rest and put to bed. There are some things that we've got to bury. Psalms 46 verse 10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease striving. There are some things right now in this crisis that we can use to our advantage. And one of those things is to cease some things. Hey, here are some things that we can let go of and stop. The endless pursuit of more. The endless pursuit of just more. Only just to discover that the more you get, the less satisfied you are. The endless pursuit of more. How about putting to bed the need to impress people, to impress the Joneses, to keep up with the Joneses. And for some of us, We've spent too long trying to impress people that we don't like. For some of us, we've bought things we couldn't afford and we've done things that we didn't really want to do to impress people that we don't even know. Hey, let's put to bed. Let's cease the need to impress people. Let's cease from worry. I know there's a whole lot of uncertainty going on right now, but the Bible gives us a great promise. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, present your request to God. Hey, we can cease worrying by praying. If it's big enough to worry about, someone said, then it's big enough to pray about. Pray with thanksgiving. And the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." Come on, if anybody's receiving this word so far, I need you to give me some hands up right now. I need you to give me some heart emojis. I need you to go and share this right now with all your friends and your family. Tag someone that you love. Tag someone that you know that will be blessed by a word of faith. So there are some things that we got to cease. Hey, we can cease hanging around with toxic people. Truth is, we can't hang around with people anyway. But let's make a decision. We're not going to go back to hanging out with people who are negative, people who destroy your destiny. People are always trying to one-up you. People are always trying to, you know, always put you down. You know, we can cease from being around those people. Hey, I've got a few of those in my life, you know, and everybody in the world does. And I can still love you, but not be kind of, you know, hanging around with you. In fact, I'm going to choose to love you from a distance. Hey, some of us need to cease being around with toxic people. Here's another thing we need to cease. We need to cease running around like headless chickens. But instead, maybe we can make a decision to be intentional. There are some things we have to cease. The second way that we can use crisis to our advantage is to create. What is it that God's put inside of you that is calling you to create? Whether you know this or not, every person on the planet is born to create. Why? Because you were made in the image of a creator. And your creator created the earth in 6 days. In 6 days, he made everything that we see and know, including you and I. He created. And what a wonderful creation it is. And so for all of us, we get to create. Here are some things I want to encourage you to create right now, especially for the, because we can't gather corporately. But here's what I'd love you to think about creating. Creating right now in your home, in your space, environments of worship, an environment of the presence of God. For Ratini and I, whenever we move into a new house, the first thing we do is we get a we get one of our computers and we put it on YouTube on worship, and we let that thing just play for 24/7, maybe 7 days, for 7 days. We just let it play. Why? Because, especially for houses that we've moved into where, it's not like it was someone else's house and then we move in after them. Why? Because in that house, I want to create an environment of worship. Sometimes even still, in fact, often still, we will have worship playing through the night, all day, all night, just quietly enough so that it doesn't keep us up all night, but just so we can hear the worship and create an environment of peace, an environment of hope, and an environment for the presence of God. Hey, let's be intentional about creating those environments. Creating environments of intimacy with God. Right now, everything's out of order. Everything's disorganized. In the same moment, we're homeschooling kids, as well as cooking dinner, as well as trying to listen to a podcast, as well as trying to learn a hobby, as well as watching Netflix, as we're doing all of these different things. But how about creating an environment that is distraction-free? An environment of an intimate relationship with God. We can create some of those things right now. Hey, here are some things that we've all had to create, and I think this is a wonderful thing. We've all had to create more time with our families, more times to sit, to talk. I mean, Ratini and I, in fact, the restaurant's opened up where we are, and so we couldn't wait to get out, and so we went out for dinner. We couldn't get in for dinner for lunch, and we went out for lunch, and I remember going there and I put my phone down, and for about 2 hours we just continued to talk. And it was after 2 hours that we both realized that I hadn't even picked up my phone. Now, if you know me, if you know your pastor, you know that for me to not pick up my phone for 2 hours is a miracle. But maybe that's maybe that's one of the things that we could take from this crisis, that we could create intentional moments of connection, create intentional moments and environments for loved ones. There are absolutely some things that we get to create, and that's how we can use crisis to our advantage. The third thing that we can, third way that we can use crisis to our advantage is to be creative. Again, we are formed in the image of a creator. And if we're forming the image of a creator, then that makes you and I creative. You talk to a child, what do they want to be when you grow up? I talk to my children, in fact, just the other night, what do you want to be with when you grow up? And they're saying things like, Daddy, I want to be a pilot. Oh, that's amazing. And then she says, and I want to be a dancer. I'm like, that's amazing. And then she's like, and I want to be a singer. I'm like, that's amazing. And then she's like, and I want to be a teacher. I said, that's amazing. And then, one of my children says, you can't be all of those things. And then I just, I sort of immediately went to agree with her. Yeah, choose one. And then I had to stop and go, no, why couldn't she? If you wanted to be all those things, why couldn't she? Just allow her to be creative. Allowing people, right now is a season where we could be more creative. In other words, we can innovate. In other words, we can begin to dream. Right now, there are people watching, and there are books that are in you. There are songs in you. There are business ideas in you. Hey, for some of you, there are dreams of going back to school and retooling and reskilling upskilling, so that you can step forward into your God-given purpose. But now's the time to be creative. Being creative and doing things that feed your soul. The Bible says that I wish that your health would prosper even as your soul would prosper. Now's the time to be creative. How can we be creative right now? Begin to create and allow that to feed your soul in the name of Jesus. For me, my goal, for my children, because 70% of people do things every day that they don't love. They go to jobs that they don't love to pay the bills, and I get it, I understand it, and I've lived much of my life like that before I began to do what I'm doing now. And I understand that, we got to make make ends meet, and we got to provide and all those things, and we got to uphold our responsibilities. But my goal for my children is that my children would never have to grow up and do things that they had to do without fulfilling the thing in their heart that they are called to do. I said to them just the other day, I said, I don't want you to do what daddy wants you to do. I don't want you to do what mommy wants you to do. I do, but my point is this. I said, I want you to do what God wants you to do. I want you to do what God puts in your heart. And for me, as a father, you know, if my children all grew up and just got to do the things in their heart that they love, that they feel they were put on the planet for, then I'll die a happy man just knowing that. But we've got to allow ourselves to be creative right now. The fourth thing that crisis gives to us is that it gives us a center. Crisis gives us a North Star. Crisis helps us to really figure out what's important by taking away all the things that we thought were important. Crisis takes away our dependence on all the things that we depended on outside of God. See, crisis took away our money for many of us. And then we learned that we don't depend on our money, but we can depend on our God. And the Bible says that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Hey, the crisis takes away our dependence on certainty and control, like circumstances. Life is an illusion of control. We think we're in control, and this crisis has taught us that clearly we are not. And then what has happened is that for all of us, it's kind of upset the balance. It's upset our equilibrium because we thought that we had some certainty all around us. But one thing is absolutely true. In the middle of this uncertainty, there is certainty in a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The foundations of the world may have shaken, but we serve a God that is unshakable. We serve a God who before the foundations of the world, He spoke life into the world. He spoke life into you and me, spoke the world into being. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the rock of ages. He is the cleft for me. He is my hiding place. He is my strong tower. He is my fortress. And the Bible says that the righteous run into it and they are saved. We can be centered around a God who loves us and a God who is for us. We used to sing that song a lot in our church. Jesus at the center of my life. And crisis causes us to put Jesus front center of our lives. The Bible says, Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Right now, this passage of Scripture is so appropriate. Right now, this passage of Scripture couldn't be more relevant. In the middle of everything right now that is outside of our understanding, this is a once in a generation moment. Everything is outside of our understanding. But don't place your trust in chariots. Don't place your trust in horses. Place your trust in the name of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hear this next bit. Acknowledge God, and He will make your path straight. Right now, we don't fully understand what's going to happen next. But if we acknowledge God, and if we keep trusting in God, He does. And He's going to see us through, and He's going to see you through. Hey, let's not have Christ as a kind of attack on, add on part to our life. Let's not have God as one of the things on our to-do list, but let's place God front and center. Let's use crisis to put God back on the throne of our hearts and the throne of our lives. And my friends, if you've been distant from God, it doesn't matter, because right now, in a moment, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put Jesus front and center again in your life, or front and center for the first time in your life. And when you pray a prayer, the Bible says if you take one step toward God, God takes a step towards you. He takes thousands of steps towards you. In fact, He steps out of eternity and into your life in Jesus' name. And the fifth thing that crisis gives to us is that it gives us clarity. The Bible says that life is like a vapor. You know, if you take a spray can and you just spray it, and then that vapor comes out. It comes out, and as quickly as it comes out, it's gone. And the Bible says life is like that. Well, this crisis has taught us that life is short. It's taught us that there's a whole bunch of things that we thought were important that actually aren't. It's taught us now to really ask ourselves the question, what's important for my life? What's important when it comes to my purpose? Why am I here? I don't want to spend the rest of my life running on some treadmill. You know, like the song that U2 sung, I've climbed highest mountains, run through the fields, only to be with you, but I still didn't find what I was looking for. This moment of crisis gives us clarity. This moment of crisis helps us to realign our lives, realign priorities, and say, hey, I've got to live not for the pursuit of getting. I've got to live for the pursuit of giving. And this crisis gives us clarity that our life is not fulfilled in the more getting, but in fact, our lives, we find our lives in the giving. This moment gives us clarity. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And this for me has been a life passage of scripture. And I pray that for somebody watching right now, that this becomes your point of clarity. This becomes your point of understanding. This becomes the point where you begin to aim for the bullseye of your life. And if you take this passage of scripture and you make it the bullseye of your life, then you will be blessed, my friend. And God will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask, think, or imagine in your life. Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Crisis brings clarity. For me, I wake up in the morning, and I don't wake up in the morning going, oh no, here I have to go again, and oh no, I hate what I'm doing, and oh no. No. By God's grace, 20 years ago, I met a girl, and they're a little bit longer than that, but I met a girl, and that girl, there was something about her. She had this light that I'd never seen before, and she had something. And I said, what is it that's different about you? And she said, I have a relationship with Jesus. And then she said these words. She says, and I could never be with somebody who didn't have a relationship with Jesus themselves. And I went, wow. And so I basically went, you know, my motives weren't right, you know, because I wasn't seeking God. I was seeking a girl. But in my seeking of a girl, God was seeking after me. So my motives weren't right, but I gave my heart to Jesus. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, then there God had me. And then for the first time in my life, I felt peace like I'd never known. For the first time in my life, I felt like I knew why I was on planet Earth. For the first time in my life, I woke up and the sky was bluer and the grass was greener. And I knew then that I would give the rest of my life to seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things would be added unto me. Now, was it clear the whole time? No, but I just kept seeking. Did I know what the next step was? No, but I just kept seeking. Were the answers always clear, you know, like, you know, up front? No, but I just keep seeking. I've come to discover that in terms of relationship with God, that God is big on the plan, but He's light on the detail. He gives you a vision for your life. One day you're going to do this, and one day you're going to do that, but then He doesn't tell you the very next step to get there. But that's the faith journey. You keep seeking Him, and as you seek Him, God reveals. As you seek Him, He gives you clarity. As you seek Him, you discover God. And when you discover more of who God is, then you discover more of who you are. It brings clarity. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.